Please turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. We are not starting a series through the book of Hebrews. We are instead starting a study through or on the subject of angels. And I'll give a little more explanation about why and where this is going after we read God's Word. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll read the entire chapter. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son"? But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness more than Your companions. And You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at My right hand till I make Your enemies Your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Angels. When you say angels, it brings a lot of different thoughts to mind. There's a lot of misconceptions in our society about angels, about their functions. And the first pictures that we might, or the first thoughts that we have about angels might be things that our society has put in front of us. We might think of chubby little ornaments, little people-looking things, maybe almost like the precious, precious moments creatures, little things, you know, that sort of a angelic looking, that's what an angel's like. We might think of, from one of my favorite movies of all time, of course, our good friend Clarence, he kind of pictures those precious moments too, a little bit on the chubby side, somewhat harmless, and It's a Wonderful Life. But that's not the biblical picture of angels. And, it's actually important that as God's people, that we know about angels. And the reason that we're doing this and the reason that I got started on this, first of all, is because of studying through the book of Hebrews. And as we were beginning our study through Hebrews and working through chapter 1, I was struck with this, and into chapter 2 as well, this comparison between Christ and the angels, and the author wanting to make so clear to us that Jesus is better than the angels. And I think from our theological standpoint, we say, well, obviously, this is, you know, what's so great about that? But actually, the fact that Hebrews deals with that question, as well as, if you want to put your finger in Hebrews and turn over to Colossians chapter 2:18, Colossians 2:18, we read, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Well, at least on these two occasions, in the New Testament, Colossians, and in the book of Hebrews, we find that the threat of worshiping angels was real and alive in the church. And so what does that say about who angels really are? And in fact, we see places in Scripture where angels appear and people fall down to worship, and the angels have to assure the people or instruct the people, command the people, no, no, stand up, I'm just an angel, I am not the Lord. And so the biblical conception of angels goes far beyond some sort of precious moments, little figurine with wings, or this bumbling angel in training or angel second class Clarence who's trying to earn his wings. That's not the biblical picture of angels at all. There's actually a lot of emphasis in the Scripture on this subject of angels. And I was caught quite off guard in studying this when this came up in our Bible study. I thought, you know, that would be a helpful little study to do. I can just preach a sermon on angels. And I then went and started my word studies, you know, looking up all the verses in the Bible on angels. There's something like 20 pages on my computer of a single space, you know, regular type of verses on this subject with the word angel in them or words related to angel. And that's not even all of them. Outside of that, you have hundreds, it's over 100 uses of the term, the designation, the Lord of hosts throughout the Old Testament. It's one of God's regular designations for himself. The host referring to the angels as a sign of his majesty and power and authority. And so the biblical data on angels is not small at all. There's extensive reference to angels throughout the Bible. I was quite shocked to find that the word angels or angel occurs more times in the New Testament than the word love. The word angel appears more times in the New Testament than the word sin. So those are two pretty key biblical concepts that we talk about regularly. And so it seems that God at least wants us to be aware of the existence and the reality, the activities of angels. Also, I've said that these angels are emphasized in the Bible. If I ask you what books of the Bible emphasize angels, you would immediately maybe cite books like Revelation. And you would be correct that there are numerous references to angels in the book of Revelation. But the references to angels in the Scripture are different in some regards than say a subject like miracles, because we actually find the references to angels throughout the Bible sprinkled fairly consistently throughout the various books of the Bible. The miracles, for instance, where do miracles show up in the Bible? Well, they show up at specific times to authenticate Revelation. So there's a big grouping of miracles at the time of Moses and God bringing his people out. There's a big grouping at the time of the beginning of the real prophetic ministry with Elijah and Elisha. And then, of course, at the time of Christ and with the apostles and early on in the apostolic age. But later on, even in the ministry of the apostles, we find that there aren't many miracles. And if you look in, there are other major sections of biblical history, you know, hundreds of year periods where there really weren't miracles going on. The same is not true of angelic activity. There's regular ministry of angels and reference to the ministry of angels throughout the Scripture. And so one of the reasons why you should be motivated to know about angels is that the Bible tells us a lot about angels and wants us to know about angels. If God didn't want us to be thinking about angels, he could have left them out of his divine revelation for us. A second reason why we should know something about angels is because of, as I've already alluded to, this current social preoccupation or societal preoccupation with the subject of angels. I imagine that all of you have gotten into a car with some friend or acquaintance at some point and found that they have some sort of angel dangling from the rearview mirror as a sign of, safety, or some little decal, or, some ornament of an angel as this keeps me, this is something to keep me safe in the car. You go into cemeteries. I was amazed the last time I was at a funeral in the cemetery, and there are these headstones with just really piles almost of these ceramic angels all around them. And so it's we really as a society have a preoccupation with and a fascination with angels and their role in these things. Certainly people have them in homes as well. And the reality is that there are major false emphases about angels that our society is propagating. And even to the point, I would argue that many in our society see angels in the place of mediators, that angels serve as the mediator between God and man, and that our eternal destiny relies on angels to, if you will, like to transport our souls up to heaven. And this is why we need these these angels all around us at the graveyard. And then also certainly the false impression of angels. One of the things that we're going to find as we look at various texts in the scripture is that angels are anything but chubby, harmless, infantile looking creatures. This is the response of people in the Bible when angels show up, is not to cuddle up to them like they're some giant teddy bear. And that's not the activity largely that we see of angels. Angels are used by God to destroy people and to bring destruction. And so we want to not go along with our society in their false impressions of who angels are. And I would also say that there's an aspect of this then that it's a timely subject for us. I just wonder, even from an apologetics standpoint, an evangelistic standpoint, if people around you who are fascinated with angels, what would happen if you were to challenge them? Let's look at what the Bible has to say about angels, and if it wouldn't be a way to get people to take a look at the scripture and actually to introduce people to the subjects of the holiness of God, and from passages like Hebrews 1, the majesty of Christ. Angels are powerful and great, but Jesus is even better. Let's talk about Him as well as part of this study. And so there's actually a part of interacting with our society, and this is a spiritual subject that the society around us is actually interested in, that we might have an opportunity to address and to encourage them to examine the scripture from. In addition, we want to know about angels ultimately because we want to have a biblical understanding of angels. As I already said, if in the New Testament and throughout the pages of Scripture, if there's a threat that people would actually worship angels, at least for me, that tells me that my understanding and my appreciation for angels and their power and who they are is actually far less than it ought to be. I think the reality is that because of our society's preoccupation with angels, and angels being something that's maybe the realm of kind of older church lady people, maybe a more liberal branch of Christianity that would go along with this. I think our response, or at least for me, is often for the pendulum to swing the other way. And I think in a community like ours that values science and learning, our default is toward a materialistic modernistic world and life view, in which the spiritual realms and the battles going on in the spirit, in the spiritual places, the unseen is, well, that doesn't even exist. It doesn't impact me. I don't need to think about it. And we do have an understanding of God, and God as being an unseen, but then we have the seen and the world that we can touch and feel. But there's a spiritual dimension to the world, the spiritual reality to what's going on in the universe that I think is very easy for us as modern people, scientific people, to just want to ignore and to not think about. I can't see it, I can't touch it, and therefore it doesn't exist, and I don't need to think about it. Well, that's not the biblical answer at all. Scripture tells us that angels do exist, and that they are active, and we need to be aware of what they're doing. I was encouraged in this study to find that the larger catechism deals with the subject of angels in several of the questions. And that helped encourage me that this is not something that's just a modern fascination or something like that, but actually it's part of our systematic theology as well. Now, over the next several weeks, as we work on this subject together, we're going to divide this into several different categories. First of all, we're going to want to look at the characteristics of angels. Just in terms of who they are, what does the Scripture tell us about angels? Then, what are their activities? What are they up to? What are they active doing? Why do they exist? What's their purpose in the world? We want to look at the angel of the Lord. There's a lot of discussion about who is the angel of the Lord and what do we make of some of that. So that's a different category. So we'll be working on that. And then ultimately also, what difference does it make? Okay, fine. So, and hopefully we won't push all of that off to the end of this. There will be some implications of what difference does this make, and even as we talk about, for instance, the characteristics of angels. But what difference does it make to us that angels exist, and how are we supposed to view them and think about them in our world and in our lives? I'm actually going to end there, because to launch into the characteristics of angels looks like that'll definitely take us well beyond our stated ending point. As we go through this, I think we're going to find that God's encouraging us, and that there is that the Lord has ordained all things for our salvation and for our good, and that He cares for us, and that He has a heavenly host through which He ministers the needs of His people. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we right away want to just humble ourselves before Your Word and acknowledge, Lord, that there is so much in Your Word, Lord, that we don't know and don't understand. And Lord, that Your glories go beyond just even what's in Your Word, and that there are wonders that You have for us, things that You've created, aspects of who You are that we don't begin to understand. And so, Lord, You are majestic and glorious, and we praise You, and we pray that You would give us the same attitude and the same orientation toward You that You've given to the angels who constantly worship You and stand and bow down again and again in adoration of You. So, Lord, fill us with Your praise, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.